Hi, everybody. This is a reading from the Niagara Radio Reading Service for the reading of articles and features from the Olean Times Herald for Friday, January 16th, 2026. And your reader today is Mickey Cole. So the first thing I'm going to read to you is about the state awards of $3 million for Allegheny County emergency communication upgrades. Allegheny County will receive $3 million in upgrade emergency communications equipment, the state reported. On Thursday, Governor Kathy Hochul announced more than $38 million in state funding to 17 counties in the New York City for emergency communications for first responders. Among the recipients of the statewide interoperable communications grant awards was Allegheny County, which received the maximum award of $3 million. According to Hochul's office, Allegheny County will use the funds to upgrade connectivity, including core consoles, and system components. Saving a life can come down to one call, and our first responders need to have the most reliable emergency communication systems to help their fellow New Yorkers during their most critical moments, Hochul said. Investing in emergency response to enhance first responders' readiness is a matter of life and death. I remain committed to prioritizing public safety throughout our state. The funds are administered by the State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Services. The goal of the SICG targeted program is to close gaps in interoperability infrastructures, regional communications deficiencies, improve the redundancy and resiliency of existing systems, and support the implementation of the national interoperability channels. These awards play a critical role in supporting our local responders by modernizing existing emergency communication systems and promoting further interoperability between our counties and their partners, said Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Services Commissioner Jackie Bray. Thank you, Governor Hochul, for making public safety a priority and fostering efforts to strengthen our emergency communication systems in every way possible. All counties were eligible to apply for the grant, with awards announced Thursday ranging from $138,000 for Yates County to upgrade a backup generator at a radio site to $3 million for Clinton County to build two new radio sites. All right, a point in time, volunteers are sought for the homeless count in Cattaraugus County. Volunteers from the local continuum of care planning body will conduct the annual point in time PIT homeless count in Cattaraugus County next Thursday, and the public is being asked to help. Anyone who knows of a person experiencing unsheltered homelessness in Cattaraugus County should contact Connecting Communities in Action, or the CCA, at 716-945-1041, extension 115, to report that information. Callers need not give their names and can be assured that there will be no negative consequences for the homeless person due to the report. Unsheltered homelessness means staying in a location not meant for human habitation, such as an abandoned building, car, or encampment. The goal of this request is to reach out to people experiencing homelessness to link them with the shelter and support required by HUD to take place in the last 10 days of January. The PIT count is an effort to document the region's homeless population. Not only a HUD requirement, it also yields valuable data on local needs. We know that homelessness is on the rise all over the country, and the Cattaraugus County is no exception, said Jody Fuller, Chief Operating Officer of Transactional Services of CCA. In 2023, 338 people received shelter services. In 2024, that number increased to 360. In 2025, it was 574. Like other communities, Cattaraugus County is also seeing increases in unsheltered homelessness through figures that are harder to quantify because people move in and out of the shelter system depending on the resources, weather, and personal factors. In 2023, there were 5 unsheltered homeless people found. There were 6 in 2024 and a decrease to 3 in 2025. The PIT also provides valuable information on who experiences homelessness and what disabling conditions, if any, might contribute to that. Documenting the presence of homelessness in Cattaraugus County is critical to securing the funding needed to meet needs. In addition to asking the public to contact CCA with information on people experiencing homelessness, PIT volunteers will be canvassing in Olean, Allegheny, Salamanca, Gowanda, and Arcade in the early morning hours on Thursday. These volunteers will be visiting vacant buildings, parking lots, and vehicles, and checking businesses open 24 hours a day in the hope of identifying unsheltered homeless people and linking them with services. Public information is critical to reaching as many people as possible. We are also trying to identify new locations, but the public may see things that we don't, Fuller said. So any information we get from the public is very helpful. A shelter-based count on Thursday, combined with a service-based count conducted in the 10 days following the PIT, helps the group get the most accurate picture of local homelessness. Like many areas, Cattaraugus County needs the HUD Continuum of Care grant funds to continue serving people experiencing homelessness. This grant provides 2 agencies with funding to provide supportive housing for people experiencing homelessness. The grant funds 18 beds for homeless persons with mental illness through Recovery Options Made Easy, 8 apartment units for homeless families through CCA, and 15 rapid rehousing program placements also available through CCA. Additional housing services for people fleeing family violence are also HUD-funded. Emergency shelter services are not funded by HUD, but are an integral part of the county's homeless service framework. At present, these services are provided by the Genesis House in Olean, which offers year-round beds as well as Code Blue / seasonal beds in the winter months, and the Kinley Hill facility in Salamanca. The local Department of Social Service also provides shelter services via motel placements. Cattaraugus County is part of the New York State Balance of State Continuum of Care, which covers counties in New York, and is coordinated by the State Office of Temporary and Disability Assistance. Additional information can be found at the otda.newyork.gov/resources/continuum-of-care/. All right, the Tri-County Arts Council raffle features original paintings by Michael Wintermantle. The Tri-County Arts Council offers a special raffle featuring original paintings by acclaimed regional artist Michael Wintermantle, with proceeds supporting exhibitions, educational programs, and initiatives that serve artists, students, and residents across the area. Raffle participants will have a chance to win one of Wintermantle's original works valued at $1,000 to $1,200. Chances start at $5 per chance, 6 for $25, 12 for $50, or $25 for $100. The raffle is now open, and purchase is available at the Tri-County Arts Council in person at the TCAC, 110 West State Street, open Wednesday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 5 a.m. and Saturday 10 to 4. Additionally, raffle tickets are on sale at the Beat City Music at 217 North Union Street, with more locations to be announced. Drawing for the winners will be March 7th. Wintermantle is an illuminist painter whose work reflect a deep engagement with landscape, memory, and regional identity. His paintings are held in private collections and have been exhibited throughout the area and beyond. An Allegheny resident and an executive director emeritus of TCAC, Wintermantle has been instrumental in shaping local arts and cultures for decades and is an avid volunteer and supporter of the council. Tri-County Arts Council is a nonprofit organization dedicated to advancing arts and culture throughout the exhibitions, education, and community programming, offering an artisan market for shopping, gallery space, community studio for workshops, and a ceramic studio. Various art raffles will be held by the organization during 2026, including additional winter mantle pieces in an ongoing fundraising effort. Meanwhile, TCAC has January classes upcoming. Live drawing, join for a live drawing session with a costumed model. Note, this is not a class with a teacher, but an opportunity to practice drawing. And that is January 24th from 1 to 3 and appropriate for ages 12 and up. Abby Zickenfuss will be the guide for the class, which is $10 for artisan members and above and $15 for basic family members and non-members. Wheel throwing basic level beginner throwing techniques such as centering, pulling walls, trimming, and glazing. This is a 6 weeks course taught on Thursday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. Starting January 29th, taught by Zickenfuss. It's appropriate for ages 14 and up, and that class is $180 for artisan members and above and $200 for basic family members and non-members. Needle felting a Valentine garland. Create a needle felted garland using wool roving. January 31st from 10 to 1 p.m., taught by Darlene Cebulski, and the appropriate ages are 14 and up. This class is $35 for artisan members and above, and $45 for basic family members and non-members. So if you are interested, you can call the Tri-County Council at 716-372-7455. And now we're going to move to page 2. All right, so at the top, the bank, the High Point FCU, gives high schoolers a bite of reality on finances. High Point Federal Credit Union staff recently shared a new bite of reality financial education program with nearly 50 Olean High School seniors. Bite of Reality is a modern app-based simulation that gives students hands-on experiencing managing personal finances in the real-world scenarios, said Abigail Sexton, marketing communications specialist with High Point. The credit union originally began presenting the Mad City Money program in 2013, offering it to Olean and Allegheny Limestone High School students. Today, Sexton said the credit union has transitioned to Bite of Reality, an updated version of that same concept delivered through an interactive mobile app. The program continues to provide students with a realistic look at adult financial responsibilities while leveraging technology to enhance engagement and accessibility. Through Bite of Reality, Sexton said students begin by selecting an assigned identity, which includes an occupation, salary, family status, student loan, and credit card debt and insurance expenses. Using the app, participants make financial decisions related to housing, transportation, childcare, food, and other necessities, all while working to stay within their assigned budget. Students learn how to manage monthly expenditures, understanding credit card payments, handle unexpected financial challenges and windfalls, and evaluate how lifestyle choices impact their financial stability. While some students are able to save money by the end of the simulation, others must revisit decisions and make more affordable choices, mirroring real-life financial trade-offs. When asked about the main takeaways, students shared a great appreciation for their parents' spending decisions, a clearer understanding of the true cost of living, and the importance of managing and paying down debt. Experiencing these scenarios in a controlled, interactive environment helps students build practical financial knowledge they may not otherwise gain. High Point FCU offers Bite of Reality to high schools throughout its expanded field of membership, which includes all of Cattaraugus and Allegheny counties, as well as McKean and Potter counties in Pennsylvania. So for more information, or to schedule a bite of reality at a school, you can call High Point at 716-372-6607. Local Melt Camp offers hands-on STEM adventure for K-3 students. With school out for winter break, local parents have a new way to keep their children engaged and off screens. The Challenger Learning Center of the Twin Tiers Region's MELTS Winter Break Camp runs February 16th through the 20th and is designed for students in kindergarten through third grade. This interactive day camp offers a flexible schedule where parents can choose individual days or the full week with a unique STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math theme dedicated to each day. From launching rockets to building circuits, the camp focuses on doing rather than just watching. We wanted to create a full screen-filled environment where kids can unleash their inner scientists. With Rianne Elman, director, our goal is to stop the brain freeze that happens during school breaks by keeping young minds active with messy, exciting, and educational hands-on experiments. Designed to spark curiosity, the Melts Winter Camp introduces the unique STEM theme for every single day of the week. The adventure begins on Monday, February 16th, with Movement and Motivation, where students act as junior physicists to investigate kinetic energies and the forces of push and pull. On Tuesday, the excitement turns high voltage with electricity, allowing campers to safely build circuits and test conductors. Midweek, students transform into lab rats to master lab safety and explore colorful chemical reactions. Excuse me. Followed by a Thursday dedicated to tinkering and technology, where young inventors use tools and reverse engineer gadgets and build new contraptions. The week concludes on Friday with Space Race, a journey through the solar system to explore the unique characteristics of the planets. Understanding that holiday schedules can be busy, Melts offers a fully flexible registration model that allows you to choose your own experiences. Families can pick and choose specific days for their child to attend, whether it's a single session, 3 days, or the entire week. Individual sessions are priced at $35 per day, with discounts available for those attending 3 or more days. The full 5 days experience is available for a bundled rate of $120. Please note that space is strictly limited to a maximum of 25 students per day to ensure individual attention, so early registration is highly encouraged to secure a spot. So if you want to register or learn more, you can visit challengertwintiers.org or email director at challengertwintiers.org. All right, the GOACC's Lunch and Learn returns with Howard Hanna Broker. The Greater Olean Area Chamber of Commerce is reintroducing the virtual Lunch and Learn series kicking off 2026 at noon, January 27th, with Kelly Patron, Associate Broker with Howard Hanna Professionals. Patron will present Buying or Selling in 2026. Where to start and what to expect, offering an overview of today's real estate landscape and steps buyers and sellers should take to feel confident and prepared. So you can register online or contact the chamber at 716-372-4433. On February 23rd, Rich Davis and Brian Kelly from Acme Business will present a not-for-profit technology. On March 23rd, Ethan Rout from Pursuit will discuss access to capital for small businesses. On April 27th, Kayla Hayden of Bright Alternatives will give an overview of the organizations and discuss the Earn While You Learn program with more monthly opportunities available. So anybody interested in presenting may contact the chamber for more information about hosting. And St. Bonaventure's DePiro School receives a $120,000 grant for special equipment. St. Bonaventure has been awarded a $120,199 grant from the Institute of Technology and Healthcare, ITHC, to strengthen hands-on education, research, and community outreach through the advanced healthcare technologies aimed at improving rural health outcomes. The grant supports a new initiative, Technology-Enhanced Cardiometabolic Rehabilitation and Communication Therapy Training for Rural Health, within the university's Dennis R. DePiero School of Health Professions, reinforcing the school's growing role as a regional leader in technology-enabled healthcare workforce development. Funding will be used to acquire specialized equipment that strengthens training for students in physician assistant studies, nursing, occupational therapy, speech and language pathology, and public health, while also expanding community-based services. This investment allows us to move beyond traditional training models and immerse students in the technologies shaping the future of healthcare while ensuring those innovations reach rural communities that are too often left behind, said Dr. Swagata Benik, Dean of the DePiero School. ITHC support helps us prepare practice-ready graduates who can deliver high-quality technology-enabled care where it's most needed. The ITHC's funding will support the purchase of 5 complementary technologies, a BodPod body composition system, iWorks physiology kits, the Emotive EEG system, and the Neurosensory Motor Integrator and Virtual Reality platforms. Together, these tools will support education and research related to cardiometabolic health, rehabilitation scientists, and communication therapy, while also enabling free health screenings and preventive education in rural Western New York. The awards builds on the success of a prestigious ITHC-funded Adamage table awarded to St. Bonaventure in 2023. That technology has been used to train more than 300 students, support interprofessional learning, and host regional educational events. The new grant advances that foundation by focusing on applied practice, rehabilitation, and community-based services. Equipment funded through this grant will be integrated across core coursework and interprofessional training across the Schools of Health Professionals program, benefiting more than 400 students annually. Faculty and students will also collaborate on research projects examining cardiometabolic risk, rehabilitation outcomes, communication disorder, and social dominance of health, which results shared through the professional presentations and publications. A central pillar of the project is community engagement. The technologies will support community-based outreach activities, including health screenings, functional assessments, and preventive education across Western New York, areas with high chronic diseases burden and federal health professional shortage area HPSA designation. In addition, the project will support the pipeline programs for high schools and undergraduate students offering hands-on exposure to health technologies and careers through the school visits, community events, and campus outreach. The ITHC is a nonprofit organization based in Washington, D.C. that supports the application of innovative technologies to address healthcare challenges. This investment reflects a shared commitment to applying technology with purpose and compassion, Bannick said. It strengthens healthcare education today while preparing the next generation of professionals to serve where they are most needed. All right. I'm going to read the Salamanca Schools launch a program to support students quitting tobacco and vaping. The Salamanca City Central School District Thursday announced the launch of a new youth tobacco cessation program designed to support students who are working to quit using tobacco or nicotine products. In October, Salamanca High School social worker Amy Crowley attended the week-long training at Roswell Park Cancer Institute to become a certified tobacco cessation specialist. "The training overall was good," Crowley said to the Times-Herald. A ton of information is taught to you during the week, and then had to take a test to pass to become certified. While the tobacco cessation program was originally developed for adults seeking to quit smoking, Salamanca will be piloting this 10-week program with youth. We know that use typically begins in the preteen years, so there is a need for this level of service, Crowley explained. The level of nicotine that is currently in products is so high that kids are becoming addicted much more easily. The group will meet once per week from 2:30 to 3:30 and focus on helping students understand their tobacco or nicotine use through assessment, identifying personal triggers, and building coping skills to support quitting. Currently, students who are caught with a vape are offered the opportunity to complete a 4 to 6 week educational sessions through the CARES program with CASA Trinity as a preventive-based alternative that can reduce suspension. It is impossible to test if someone is continuing to vape because nicotine is not picked up with the current CO testers like cigarettes can be. Crowley said it can absolutely change a child's behaviorally and emotionally. Beginning this month, students who are found in possession of tobacco or have nicotine product and have already completed the CARES will be automatically registered for Amy's 10-week course as a Tier 2 intervention. My hope is that the student truly understands that they are putting into their bodies the effects that it can have on them and find ways that work for them to quit, Crowley said. This will be a challenge, to say the least, because adults can get access to nicotine replacement therapy and kids cannot, even though some may need the NRT to help them quit. Parents or guardians interested in enrolling their child in the 10-week program who have questions are encouraged to contact Crowley at 716-945-2400, extension 6004. The program represents an important step in providing supportive educational and skill-based interventions that help students make healthier choices and succeed both in and out of school. And the Salamanca mayor is looking forward to productive 26 at council reorg meeting. The Salamanca Common Council is reorganizational meeting Wednesday, electing the council president for the year and authorizing several annual matters. Mayor Sandra Magera said that although there are only 14 days into the new year, the city has been productive. There's a lot of projects we're working on and a lot of things to move forward on, she said. I'm hoping we can move forward quickly on some of these projects and get them in the works. With that, Magera said that the city will possibly be holding a lot more meetings in the coming months, asking people to be aware and available for them to help the city move forward. And we have some exciting announcements that hopefully we can make soon, she said. One such project is the upgrades of the Bill Flanagan Memorial Ice Pond, where new artificial rink was installed last week. Magera said they hope to have it open for skating in a couple of weeks once the bidding process for pond supervisors is complete. We're doing that in a week, and hopefully within that time we'll get someone who wants to supervise up there, she said. And we can open the pond up for an extended period of time because it is artificial ice now. The council's unanimous elected Ward 2 Alderman Kylie Johnson as council president for 2026. Halfway through her third term, Johnson is entering her sixth year on the council. An employee of the Salamanca School District's Transportation Department, Johnson has been a member of the city's Fire Commission since 2014. She has also been a cheer coach for several years. As part of a routine business for the new year, the council approved the City of Salamanca's Seneca Nation of Indians Joint Leasing Commission budget for 2026, authorizing a $5,000 payment. Also of note, the council designated the Salamanca Press and Olean Times Herald as the official newspapers for the city as part of their reorganization items. In other business, the council accepted the proposal of Forward Planning, Inc. of New York City for service and evaluation on the Central Avenue Route 219 property, approved the change order for the BECC Electric of Fredonia for the Records Room Alternations Project for $2,622.62, and confirmed the appointment of Jem Yarhauer of Salamanca as a part-time dog caretaker as needed with a maximum of 28 hours per week, effective December 17th, 2025. All right. Ken Pickett Jr. retires from Cutco after 32 years. Ken Pickett Jr. were shipping for Cutco Cutlery while will retire effective February 1st after 32 years of service. Pickett joined Cutco on March 1st, 1993, as a transfer polish operator. He was also a shear operator, auto machine grinder, and a CNC DD operator before assuming his current position in March 28, 2011. A veteran of the U.S. Army, Pickett lives in Portville with his wife, Jackie. Return work clerk and inspector for Cutco. He has two daughters, Wendy and Sheena, a son, Kenneth, and a stepdaughter, Audra. And there are some police reports. In the Salamanca police, on January 6, no time provided, Blair Hemmel, 36, of Cotter Sport, was charged with resisting arrest, second-degree obstruction of governmental administration, and fourth-degree criminal mischief, Class A misdemeanors. Hemmel will be held pending arraignment. On January 7th, no time provided, Amelia Grabowski, 34, of Ellicottville, is charged with driving while intoxicated and operating a motor vehicle with a blood alcohol level of 0.08% or greater, unclassified misdemeanors, uninspected motor vehicle, and failure to signal an infraction. Grabowski was released with an appearance ticket. Excuse me. January 8th, no time provided. Shauna Jacobs, 37, of Limestone, was arrested on a fugitive form justice warrant issued out of Foster Township Court. Jacobs was remanded to Cattaraugus County Jail and held pending further court proceedings. On January 9th, no time provided, Scott Engels, 60, of Kilbuck, was charged with operating a motor vehicle while registration suspended, revoked an unclassified misdemeanor, and operating a motor vehicle without insurance and infraction. Engels' status was not reported. On January 9th, no time provided, Paul Tyler, 39, currently incarcerated in Cattaraugus County Jail, was charged with unlawful fleeing of a police officer of a motor vehicle, a Class A misdemeanor. Tyler was released with an appearance ticket. Saturday, no time provided, Brian Johnson, 39, of Salamanca, was charged with petty larceny, a Class A misdemeanor. Johnson was released with an appearance ticket. And on Sunday, no time provided, Donald Bickford, 44, of Salamanca, was arrested on a bench warrant issued out of Salamanca City Court. Bickford was held pending arraignment. And the New York State Police, in Sio, a one-vehicle accident was reported at 11:30 a.m. Wednesday on Route 19. Nathaniel W. Jensen, 38, of Wellsville, was identified as the driver. One injury was reported. In Olean, a 17-year-old resident was charged at 2:25 Wednesday on second-degree assault, a Class D felony, and fourth-degree criminal possession of a weapon, a Class A misdemeanor. The juvenile status was not reported. And in Allegheny, Levy T. Ward, 29, of Olean, was charged at 11:11 p.m. Wednesday with petty larceny, a Class A misdemeanor. Ward was released with an appearance ticket. All right. Well, we have two obituaries. Dwayne Wayne Simons, 91, passed away Tuesday at Absolute Care of Allegheny. Dwayne is now in the arms of his Savior, Jesus Christ. Wayne was born May 17, 1934, in Portville, the son of Ella Violetta and Albert Simons. He graduated from Portville High School and was employed at all of the original Olean movie theaters. This experience sparked a lifelong love of Hollywood and film history. Wayne possessed an incredible knowledge of classic movies and maintained a vast collection of old Hollywood memorabilia. He had a unique ability to turn any conversation into a story reminiscent of a classic movie screen. Wayne also worked at the Only In House Coffee Shop, Only In Wholesale, and St. Bonaventure Dining Hall. He was a member of the former Christopher Columbus Lodge and was a familiar face at early morning breakfasts at the 6th Street Diner in Only In. He especially enjoyed his coffee outings at Tim Hortons. Wayne had a friend, his beloved cat, Clarence. He is survived by his cousin, Joan Shores of Texas. Wayne also leaves behind his devoted friends, Stephen Yale and Jane Pitcher, both of Allegheny, as well as his friend, David Outekirk, who often stopped by to visit and bring him coffee. Wayne was predeceased by his parents and his brother, Arnold. At Wayne's request, there will be no funeral services and burial will take place at Pleasant Valley Cemetery. Paul Padlow of West Franklin Street in Olean passed away Tuesday, January 13th at Olean General Hospital. Paul was born May 18th, 1963 in Olean and was the son of Leon and Ann Panko Padlow Sr. Paul was a 1981 graduate of Olean High School. He attended RIT where he received his degree, which allowed him to be certified in New York State as a tool and die maker. Paul worked for Rokon in Rochester and then Dresser Industries in Olean in the tool design department for several years. He then went to work at Case Knives in Bradford, where he worked for the past 32 years. Paul enjoyed traveling and was a member of the Model T Ford Club, the COCA, Coin Operated Club of America, and Whizzer Motorbike Club. Paul is survived by his lifelong partner for over 40 years, Patricia J. Putsky, his brothers, David E. Padlow of Olean, and Leon J. Kathy Padlow of Rochester, a niece, Kelly Beaton, two nephews, Greg Padlow and Philip Padlow, and a brother-in-law, Robert Beaton of Rochester. Paul was predeceased by his parents, a sister, Nancy J. Beaton, in December of 2024, and a nephew, Alan Padlow, in December of 2024. Services will be held at a future date, and time will be announced. And Betty Evington celebrating the life slated. Family and friends are invited to attend the celebration of life for Betty L. Evington, 94 of Shingle House, beginning at 1 p.m. on Sunday at the Bolivar Fire Department in Bolivar. Betty passed away Wednesday, January 7th, 2026. Her complete obituary was published in a previous edition of the Olean Times Herald. Betty's family has entrusted her care and cremation arrangements to Kevin J. Dusenberry, funeral director and owner of the Virgil Howard Funeral Home in Shingle House. All right, Alfred States Kabir presents at Economics Conference. Alfred State Assistant Professor of Economics Tamana Kabir attended and was presenter at the 95th Annual Meeting of the Southern Economic Associations in Tampa, Florida. Kabir presented her research paper, Long-Term Impact of Educational Incentives on Women, The Case of Bangladesh, during a session entitled Policy and Social Dynamics, Labor Market and Welfare Impacts on Bangladesh. In the session, she teamed with colleagues from across the country to share their work on the topic. Attending the conference was an exciting and rewarding experience, commented Kabir. I had the opportunity to engage with contemporary research and participants in meaningful discussion with a fellow academics from across the country. It was a wonderful opportunity to represent Alfred State on a broader academic stage, and I look forward to sharing what I gained with colleagues and students. I'm grateful for the business department and the Alfred community for their continued support. The conference brings together scholars from across the country and provides a valuable platform to share and discuss current research in economics. An Allegheny Limestone School Board meeting has been changed. The next regular meeting of the Allegheny Limestone Board of Education has been rescheduled from January 27th to February 3rd. The meeting will be held at 6:30 in room 42 in the Middle High School campus. All right. Entertaining angels unaware. There are passages in the Bible confirming that human interaction with angels is a real thing. Hebrews, this is Vicky, Reverend Vicky Headland, by the way. Sorry. Hebrews 13:2 says, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some have entertained angels without knowing it." I realize there are those who are skeptical concerning this, and I might be too if I hadn't had some qualifying experiences in my own life. The most recent experience occurred on December 13th. I was in Tampa, Florida, where a friend and I attended a concert at the Tampa Theater. At the end of the concert, we walked to the nearby parking lot where I had reserved a space for my car. The lot was surrounded by dense shrubs, except for a spot where one shrub was missing, creating an opening. I suggested taking the shortcut through there, which we did. My friend went first and had no problem, but when I went through, something caught the toe of my shoe and I started to fall. I am petrified about falling because I have osteoarthritis in my knees and back, and a fall could be very detrimental. I remember crying out in my mind, "God, help me, I'm falling." I didn't remember an impact, but I was lying on the asphalt nonetheless. I got up on my hands and knees, which would typically be very painful for me, but it wasn't. I remembered asking if someone could help me up, and my friend turned around, shocked that I had fallen, and standing close beside me was a man and a woman I didn't know. I was helped to my feet, and when I thanked the couple, I couldn't help but notice the woman's face. She looked deep into my eyes while smiling so sweetly, and her face seemed to glow. I glanced back at my friend, helped me to the car, but they were nowhere in sight. My story may not seem terribly convincing yet, but stay with me because I'm not finished. Once in the car, we began assessing what had just happened. I shared that I never felt an impact, and it was like something cushioned my fall. My friend said I was already on the ground when she turned around, so she hadn't seen me fall. I marveled at the fact that I felt no pain, so I began inspecting my body. Even though I was wearing capris and a very thin short-sleeved blouse, there wasn't a mark on me. We couldn't understand how that could be possible. And then came the big question. Who was that couple, and how did they just suddenly appear there? And just as suddenly disappear? Cautiously, my friend asked, "Do you think they were angels?" And I confidently replied, "I absolutely do." That assumption came easily for me because it wasn't the first time God has saved me from harm. Perhaps you will read about the others in future articles, but in the meantime, remain vigilant so you don't miss a possible encounter. All right, let's see where we're going to go next. The Allegheny connection that helped Tioga football into a state power. Is this a local? Let's go over here. I'm not sure if it's local. Maybe. All right, let's go here. High school rap. I like reading these. Cuba, Rushford, Portville earned key wins behind rebounding defense. Peyton Joy recorded a double-double with 16 points and 15 rebounds to lead Cuba Rushford to a 69-56 road victory over Genesee Valley Belfast on Thursday night. Adam Rowe added 17 points for the Rebels, while Zach Deck finished with 14 points and 7 assists. Carter Brown chipped in 13 points. Cuba Rushford's coach, Patrick White, was impressed by his team's work on the boards, feeling that it helped swing the result. "I thought we did a really good job controlling the boards and the paint," Wright said. Peyton was very efficient, going 6-7 from the floor and kept GV's big Schultz off the boards. "We limited GV Belfast to 3 offensive rebounds. Ian McKenzie had a nice game for them and really did a nice job attacking, and I thought we controlled the pace for the most part. And Zach did a very nice job late taking care of the ball and making sure we got good looks." Ian McKenzie led Genesee Valley Belfast with 17 points, while Landon Tilton finished with 14. In boys basketball, Portville 62, Frewsburg 38. The Panthers outscored Frewsburg 23-3 in the first quarter on the Thursday, cruising the rest of the way after initially dominant first 8 minutes defensively. Tonight was a great game, Portville's coach Dylan Burton said following the win. The team played so well together and gelled so well. Our success came from the ball movement on the offensive end, but more importantly, stemmed from the energy of the defensive end. Peyton Carter led the Panthers with 21 points. Zach Green had 17, and Aiden DeFazio added 16. Jaden Colliver led Frewsburg with 10 points. Andover Whitesville 79, Hinsdale 49. Brady Vance had a huge game, and Andover Whitesville scoring 29 points, while Colton Callendine added 17. By the end of the third quarter, they led by 36 points. For Hinsdale, Dustin C. led the way with 12 points, while Sean Forney added 9. In girls basketball, Randolph 57, Franklinville 33. Ryan Bushy had 20 points and 5 rebounds. Ava Sears scored 14, and Gianna Bowles had 12 points and 6 rebounds for the Cardinals on Thursday in the winning efforts over the Panthers. Wednesday high school wrestling, Cameron Driscoll, Jack Aderman, and Riker Quattrone each earned pinfall victories for Olean, but the Huskies fell to Falconer on Wednesday night in the CCAA Division I matchup. They have a solid lineup from the bottom to the top with some very experienced wrestlers scattered throughout, Olean coach Jeffrey Gabler said. I felt a few of the matches were pretty even early on, and we let them slip away. Driscoll's victory came in the 118-pound weight class, while Edelman earned his win in the 126 and Quattrone in the 285. Faulkner improved on 3-0 to league competition, while Olean dropped 2-2. The Huskies will travel to Portville on Friday at 6 o'clock. And Fredonia, 48, Salamanca, 33. The Hillbillies beat the Warriors on Wednesday night with a number of playing the role due to forfeits. Despite that, the Warriors still had some significant highlights of the night. Kyle Oakes, Thomas George, Jack Merrill, Merle Watt, and Cassin Hardy all got wins via pin, while Connor Seely won an 11-1 major decision. For Seely, it was his 60th career win, while George and Hardy surpassed the 50-win mark. And that's it for high school wrapping sports. Let's see what. There's some Sabres. There's some Bills. There's this Allegheny connection. I'm not sure what that whole thing is about. Harbaugh and the Giants are working on a deal to make him their coach. NCAA players and gamblers are charged for alleged rigging the games. Bad, bad. Weather just got out of the sauna when he learned of his trade to the Yankees. So Weather's just going on to the Yankees. And then there's some bass foot. That's all there is for that. Let's see here. All right, let's go to these great ads that are going on. So you have, if you want to sell your house, go to Gregory, Schimeld in Olean for residential real estate closings. And if you have a large stock of pipes at great prices, that would be Hess Farm Supply. If you're looking at Wellsville Hardware, Inc., they have the best selection of Carhartt and Fox River, American-made Ohio stoneware, baking, cookware, and crocks, Lodge cast iron cookware and canning supplies, Rome pie irons, River Rats cheese, pizza and bread stones, grade 5-6 cap screws, thread rod, carriage, metric, lag bolts, and galvanized deck screws and kerosene lamps. The store with everything. If you're looking for a tool and equipment rental, that's available at Booms Inc., located in Little Genesee. Angelica's main gallery, an eclectic array of wonderful things, collectibles, antique cookie cutters, and handmade crystals, and more. They're advertising. Again, Hammond's Furniture has that January clearance still going on. Pink Advantage, every day is a new adventure. So if you go to Closest Lumber, you can get some insulation to keep your house nice and cozy warm. And Northeast Metal Siding has a board and batten. It's in which they have delivery available. And Twin Deers have overhead doors available as well. And let's see if I've got anything else in there for you today. Kind of a slim paper today. Let me see. There was one other thing I didn't read. Randolph, I'll read you this. Randolph gets $1 million for a sewer system upgrades, which is pretty good. So the town of Randolph will receive $1 million in funding for ongoing sanitary sewer system improvements to modernize the town's wastewater treatment facility and ensure compliance with State Department of Environmental Conservation permit standards. The funding announced Thursday by Republican Nick Langworthy, Representative 23rd District, supports upgrades to the wastewater treatment system, including the addition of required effluent disinfection, helping protect water quality in Little Conowanko Creek. The town council approved the contract for the nearly $2.25 million project early in 2024. And this is a smart, necessary investment in essential infrastructure and for the residents of Randolph rely on every day. Langworthy stated in a press release, by modernizing this facility, we are protecting local waterways, ensuring regulatory compliance, and reducing the financial burden on local taxpayers who would otherwise be forced to shower these costs on their own. So the town of Randolph is also preparing to embark on a water system upgrades totaling more than $7 million. All right. I think I've pretty much covered it all. So I am going to sign off a little early today. I will be back next week. So you have been listening to features and articles today from the Olean Times Herald by the Niagara Radio Reading Service. And your reader today has been Mickey Cole. And if you have any questions on anything at all, you can call 716-821-5555 regarding the newspaper. And that's it for me today. So I'll see you all next week. Hope you stay nice and warm, stay safe, and remember, be kind, kinder than necessary. Bye-bye now.